From Globe Life Park in Arlington, Texas, this is Dugout Dirt, a Texas Rangers podcast. It's a baseball podcast about everything that happens outside the chalk lines.
One thing that I really want the fans to know is that the marketing department exists in this organization to try to bring the fans closer to the club.
It's not a job, it's a life.
You know, the best compliments I ever get are when I receive a message or a letter from a blind person who says, I feel like I can see the game.
You know, I've been fortunate to kind of help him put this group together, and there's a lot of special people, and makes coming to work fun every day.
Flood of emotions, relief, excitement, elation. I knew that I carried a trailer of people with me that 90 feet.
After he was finished, I just kind of raised my hand and said, okay, which wall do you want me to run through?
Welcome to another edition of Dugout Dirt. I'm your host, Jared Couch, and on this episode of the podcast, we're doing a part two of Breaking Into Baseball. We did an initial episode, and because of its popularity and the fact that we could only talk to a handful of people within the organization, we thought it'd be a good idea to do a part two of how folks inside this organization, the Texas Rangers organization, broke into the game of baseball. In this episode, you'll hear from some of the most successful people across the entire baseball industry and hear a little bit about their path and advice they'd give to folks trying to break in to the game of baseball. But first, we begin where most people dream of working in the game of baseball. Well, outside of being a player on the field, most people want to work in baseball operations. And like most, assistant general manager Thad Levine grew up a huge baseball fan.
How'd you break into baseball? What's your story?
I grew up a huge baseball fan. It was the one thing that my dad genetically passed down to me. He grew up in New York City, a huge baseball fan. So I grew up in Virginia. He took me to a lot of Baltimore Orioles games, and we lived about an hour and a half away from the stadium, so we had 3 hours round trip to talk about the game, 3 hours to sit there and watch a game. So he and I spent a lot of my formative years watching baseball, talking about the game of baseball. So when I graduated from college, I tried to get into the game, and I applied to every single team. And I remember being ecstatic when I got rejected by the Montreal Expos, and I got a letter on their letterhead from their president saying, "We don't have any interest in hiring you." And it was like, it was gold. I kept it with me for like the next 10 years. So then I went to work for the Reebok Shoe Company, and my thought was I'd try to get into the game by way of sports. And it turns out they actually were more focused on tennis shoes and running shoes and cleats and high tops. So 3 years there, I go back to graduate school. And when I was at graduate school, I worked for Coca-Cola, again, thinking they've got some inroads into sports. It turns out they're a little bit more focused on soft drinks and water and juices. So once I graduated, I worked for the Los Angeles Dodgers my second year at graduate school as an academic intern. Was supposed to work 5 hours a week, ended up working 50 hours a week. And I would just never leave, but I was working on the business side. Graduated from there, had two good friends of mine, one who I went to college with and played baseball with, Josh Burns, who at that time was working for the Cleveland Indians, and Paul DiPodesta, who worked for the Oakland Athletics. He and I grew up in the same neighborhood. So I was asking them kind of how do you get into the game. They gave me some advice. Ultimately, Josh got an opportunity to go to the Colorado Rockies as the assistant GM. Was allowed to hire one person, and he brought me on board.
Wow. This is something I've been interested in. I saw that you got an MBA. What was your plans with that MBA when you went to go get it?
It wasn't actually 100% baseball focused at that time. I was working in internet marketing, and I thought that if I could marry it up with an MBA, that I'd be kind of like ahead of the game. Obviously, at that time, like everyone was doing that, so I wasn't going to be ahead of the game. But I also felt if I could, it would be one more tool I'd have to be able to market myself to a Major League Baseball team. You know, doing all the research I did at that time, there weren't a ton of guys who worked in front offices who had a real business background, and I thought if I was able to market myself that way, it would be a little bit unique, and I'd stand out a little bit in the crowd of, you know, the sea of resumes I got. I think it ultimately did help me. I remember the GM at the time asked me, he said, "So it says on your resume you played in the NBA?" And I said, no, I got an MBA. So I'm not sure it really helped me get the job, but I think once I got the job, it helped me kind of accelerate my career.
That's some good insight. What advice, now that you've reached a very prominent position in baseball, what advice do you give to people wanting to break into baseball?
People often ask me, like, what classes should I take? And, you know, I always say, like, the skills that you need to be successful in this career is you have to have great communication skills, written, verbal, You got to be able to have an analytical mind. So whatever you can do to sharpen those skills, you got to be able to walk in the general manager's office at the trade deadline and make a impassioned plea why you think you should or should not make a trade. You got to make it in 3 minutes, and you got to hit them hard and be strong and have done a lot of research to support it, but give them the top line reasons and make a recommendation. So the better the communication skills you can develop, the better the analytical skills you can develop, it'll help you thrive. And you know, in today's day and age, if you can be bilingual, it's invaluable because so many of our players speak Spanish. And to be able to connect with them and truly touch their hearts, it's a lot easier to do in their own languages.
Any challenges you see in the future that weren't there when you got into baseball?
You know, when I started in the game, being on the business, coming from a business background was much more of a novelty. Now, like, everyone has a business background. So I think just differentiating yourself with some sort of business experience isn't enough. You got to make that count. You got to really, like, stand out in the crowd. So the game's elevating. It's evolving. Like, the candidates who want to get in the game have to do that as well.
And one last one. What keeps you up at night as far as your job is concerned?
There's not a single day that goes by without me thinking about Game 6 of the 2011 World Series. And I think that drives me every single day of what could we do better to put ourselves in an even better position to win a baseball game when it counts and win the last game of the season. I think we're driven by the desire to win. We're competitive people. Every day you show up at the game, you expect to win. You know, like most of my friends work in industries where you get a quarterly report or an annual report. We get a daily report. We win or lose every single day. And it's that drive to win and try to figure out what's the next thing I could be doing to help this franchise take a step forward, to lower one barrier that we currently have to win that night's game. And those are the things that wake me up every night because I want to focus on that. It's an impassioned desire to beat the opposition and try to put this organization in a position to succeed for a long time.
Another position that fans associate with working in baseball is scouting. Those are the guys on the front line. Those are the guys finding the players. Ranger scout Todd Guggiani has established himself as a top-tier player evaluator, as he's the man that found top Rangers prospect Joey Gallo and Rangers first-round pick Dylan Tate.
What's your advice for people wanting to break into baseball as a scout?
The guys that scout, I mean, they've come from all over the place. Some guys didn't play. I don't know how that works. I mean, honestly, I mean, to me, you've had to play at some... you don't have to be a pro. You don't have to play pro baseball at some point, but you know, college baseball, high-end high school at least, or have coached. I mean, as far as what are the requirements to be a scout? I mean, be a hard worker, be diligent about what you do, have instincts, which you know those are sometimes hard to evaluate when guys are hiring guys to be scouts. Trust yourself. Trust what you see. Trust your gut on that, and be convicted about you know what you see. Don't waffle back and forth. Either you like him or you don't. You know, and if you have to go see a guy 8 times because you think you're supposed to like him and he's just not doing it for you, then move on. You know, the longer you do that, the easier that is to do. When you first start out and you're new to it, you don't really know the players, and you hear this so and so is supposed to be good and you like see it and you don't trust it, but you keep hearing from other people, wow, this guy is good. And at a certain point, you got to trust your opinion and trust your gut and just move on from the player. Or maybe you like a player and nobody else likes him. Trust that part of it too. Trust that what you're seeing is right. Trust that what you've done homework-wise, okay, this kid's going to work hard to become this, that, and another, and just go from there. So I just say trust your opinion, be convicted, and work at it.
What should they beware of? What should you know, young scouts beware of before they get into the business?
Just be prepared to pay your dues. Some guys break in with aspirations of immediately becoming a supervisor or being a national guy or being a scouting director. You know, for me, I like what I do. I like what impact that I can have on the organization, just being an area scout and doing my thing. But if these, you know, I would just say be patient, you know, be ready to get frustrated when it's draft day. You don't get players that you want. That's probably the hardest thing. Like, when you first start, you're like, why didn't I get this guy? I thought we liked him. And then all of a sudden you don't take him, and you're like, well, what the heck, it just happened there. But you have to be prepared for that part. The draft is a very by-chance deal. I mean, you put guys in a position to get drafted. Now, whether or not the team you work for drafts them is a whole different story, because like you said, there's 29 other teams competing for the same pool of players for the most part. So it's not just you that likes these players. There's other teams, and it just comes down to who likes them more than the other guy. So be prepared to be a little frustrated. But the satisfaction level when you get a player that performs, it does well, it makes it to the major leagues, I mean, it's pretty cool.
One of the more important functions of any organization, baseball or not, is information technology. Mike Bullock, Vice President of IT, explains that the rapid pace of tech is a constant challenge he faces every day.
Any new challenges in the industry that you see now or on the horizon that maybe weren't there when you came in?
But I think our new challenge is also our old challenge. Pace of change with technology is mind-boggling, and it's accelerating. That's been a problem with IT historically, as much so now as ever before. A lot of times technology forces us into change that creates stress. And a lot of times we're not the proponent of the change, but because we're the IT department, because we're related to technology, a lot of times we're in the mix at the forefront of those changes, and not always voluntarily. So technological change creates stress because of workload and also because of the changes that it creates in an organization.
What advice would you give to people wanting to get into baseball?
Be persistent. Timing is everything. There's a cycle in the baseball season. You know, people have asked me before, and I've told them you need to get your name in the hat in January, because by February the jobs are filled. I think a lot of people that get their entree into baseball work as either interns, work in sales, work in the ticket office. That doesn't have to be your destination, but it certainly can be your starting point.
What are you looking for specifically for your department?
I am looking for people, I guess, first of all, you need to be a baseball fan to work in baseball. And if you don't start out that way, you'll probably be one eventually. We learn to work long hours. You know, it's the sort of place where if you don't enjoy it, you'll get worn out by the schedule. You know, we typically, during a season, especially when we have homestands, we may work 60 or 70 hours or even more during a week, and it helps to be a fan.
If you're looking to get in at the ground level and looking for that first opportunity in baseball, you better know who Stephanie Lance is. She's the customer service coordinator for the Texas Rangers.
What's your story? How did you break into baseball?
I played softball, so I knew I wanted to work within the sports industry. That's what I knew I wanted. I went to school at Texas State, and I was just thinking of, like, how do I get my foot in the door, and I actually posted something on Facebook, and this, like, one of my, like, friends was like, hey, well, why don't you look into the Round Rock Express? So I did, and I got hired on as the party patrol, which is kind of like the six shooters here, but on a very minor league level. And I was literally doing like the chicken dance on the dugout and all of it. It was a lot of fun. But I met Jay Miller and kept in touch with him. And then as soon as I graduated, I looked online and saw the customer service internship position open, and I applied for that, and the rest is history.
So what advice would you give to people wanting to get into baseball? You took it, I guess, not to say unique, but you worked your way up literally from the bottom, you know.
Just don't give up, and nothing is ever like a small deed. I was literally dancing on the dugout during the chicken dance and playing all kinds of weird games. I even dressed up as the Chicken Express chicken and ran from left field all the way to first base. I mean, it's like people notice, especially if you have like the good attitude about it. If you're always if you're just there. And so, I mean, that was one of the things that caught the attention, was because I was driving from St. Marcus to Round Rock, which was about an hour 15 every home game. I didn't miss a single game. And so because I knew this is what I wanted. And so, I mean, just don't give up. It doesn't matter what you're doing.
So now you're in the position to hire a lot of folks. How would you encourage somebody, say, to get into seasonal, to be a seasonal employee, to kind of start their trek?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It gets you, I mean, you meet so many people, even if it's not within the Rangers organization itself. You meet so many people who have some sort of connection somewhere that, if you, I mean, you never know. You could just meet the right person, and then you could have a job the next day. I mean, it's definitely, seasonal employment, it's not, I mean, some people don't see it as, like, as glamorous as coming out here and being able to watch the game. I mean, you are having to actually work, but the connections you make are unbeatable.
Working in baseball isn't always about what happens on the field. Although that's very important, there's also opportunities to work within the community. Karen Morris found her niche in baseball as the Vice President of Community Outreach and Executive Director of the Texas Rangers Baseball Foundation.
Why did you decide to get into baseball and specifically the foundation?
I grew up going to baseball games. I was lucky enough to live in Milwaukee when the Brewers had Robin Yount and Paul Molitor and Cecil Cooper, and actually had a somewhat extended family relationship that had a relationship with a former commissioner. So we were able to get seats and go to a lot of games. And as a football coach's daughter, we didn't have a lot of, you know, we didn't get to sit down low very often. So you got to go and watch the game up close and kind of see all the science behind it in the game planning and get into that. And then kind of in my other hat, I speak Spanish, and I kind of developed a real passion for the Spanish language and the culture of the Hispanic community, and kind of baseball is kind of the perfect fit between the two. And seeing, you know, something like baseball is truly, you know, America's game. I mean, it is. It mirrors the history of America, and seeing kids' faces as they enter a huge baseball stadium, there's absolutely nothing like it. And being on the foundation side, I always say that we have the second best job. Like, maybe playing center field or shortstop's a good one, but being able to kind of make kids' dreams come true either through financial programs or educational programs or just bringing them to their first game is like the icing on the cake. Every day kind of makes it worth it all your while.
How did you start? How did you get your start in baseball?
I started as an intern, probably like most everybody in somewhere where someone was an intern somewhere. I started as an intern with the Brewers, and then I worked for USA Baseball for a little bit, then headed over to Fox Sports Southwest. And with the Rangers, I started here in 2003, kind of directing our Spanish language programs and community outreach. And it kind of evolved into the foundation just because most of what we were doing was grassroots and in the community. I've been here for 13 years. And I always tell people, just keep pounding the pavement and keep meeting people and you'll get your shot. Baseball is such a close-knit community. And if you're a hard worker and you do good work, people will find a place for you.
Sean Decker, Vice President of Ballpark Operations, knew early on in life that baseball was much more than a hobby and something he enjoyed watching on TV or going to the games. Sean wanted to make baseball his career.
How'd you break into baseball?
For me, baseball is the only paycheck I've ever had in my entire life. I started umpiring Little League Baseball when I was 13 years old. I had a family friend that introduced us to that. And I went from umpiring amateur baseball and then Little League and then high school baseball. I eventually started umpiring college baseball. And when I was in college, I started umpiring professionally. I'd spend my summers on the road umpiring. So I love the game, obviously. I love the business of baseball. But I learned pretty quick that being on the road as an umpire was not going to be conducive to getting married or raising a family or anything like that. So from there, when I got home from my second season on the road as an umpire, I applied to every minor and major league baseball team in the country, pretty much. I got turned down by all of them except for a couple minor league clubs, and went. And the first contract I ever signed in baseball was for $0.00 per hour in Colorado Springs, the AAA club there for the Rockies at the time, called the Sky Sox. It was an awesome gig. And so I kind of bounced around. I started there as an assistant stadium operations. I went to Major League Baseball after that and worked for the Arizona Fall League and baseball operations. Then I went from the Arizona Fall League to the Frisco Rough Riders and ticket sales, of all things. And then I went from the Frisco to here
in suite sales, and I went from suite sales to event sales to now ballpark operations.
Wow, you've touched all of them.
A little bit.
What advice would you give to people wanting to get into baseball?
There's something to be said about everybody that wants to get in the game works hard, they're passionate about the game, all of that. So you have to find things outside of the ordinary to differentiate yourself. And the one thing that every young applicant hears is that there are things about, you know, experience, right? I know that when I was trying to get a job and kept getting turned down, it was, well, you don't have any experience and you need somebody to take a shot on you. So I get the question all the time between grad school, law school, internships, all of that. And it sounds crazy, and I think probably most parents in the country hate me when I tell their kids this, but I recommend folks to get internships, to get on-the-ground experience that you can't, there's no substitution for. That's certainly what benefited me. And so that would be my key piece of advice, is take whatever opportunity you can. If you got to sit underneath the conference room table, if you want it bad enough, it'll be worth it.
What would you say has been your key differentiator?
I guess you'd probably have to ask my boss. I'm not sure that there's one thing I do really well. I think more than anything is I've tried to make myself available over the years. When things came up, just by being here, by being around, by having things coming, and never saying no almost. I think that's been the only thing probably my biggest key differentiator has just been getting lucky. I've been in the right place at the right time a number of times. When opportunities came available, I got a shot. And so I think for me, I think it's all, I always look for people who are willing to do whatever it takes. It's not a win at all cost mentality, but it's certainly a work as hard as you can at all cost mentality.
Is there any new challenges that, say, you didn't face when you were coming in or that you see on the horizon?
Yeah, you know, the one thing that's amazing to me is I got a degree in exercise and sports studies because there weren't these sports management programs out there. There were, but there was like three schools that were doing them. It's incredible to me that all these universities have sports management programs now. So I think that, again, it becomes even harder to differentiate yourself. So I think for these kids, picking the right university is it. But then also realizing that as important as the education is, and we never want to devalue that, there's no substitute for education and the experience there. But then when you get out of school, being able and be willing and able to do the little things, to start off in some podunk town in an A-ball club just to get experience and see the entire operation, I think is really important. A lot of these folks are going to school and they visualize, you know, running a big league club right off the bat, and that's just, it's not necessarily realistic. So
you'd say minor league ball gives you, it probably gives you opportunities that you wouldn't get with a major league team right off the bat.
For me, I'm biased and I admit that, but for me, that's how I got into the game, was for minor league baseball. So the one thing that I valued the most about minor league baseball, in a very micro type setting, I felt like I had a decent understanding of the way the entire business operated. And when you get to the major league level, there's a million more pieces and there's a lot of other challenges that come with it. But you're so focused on your area and whatever your trade may be, that you don't necessarily understand the way the other departments work. And so that minor league background certainly helps you understand the network of the entire company.
Minor league baseball has been a common theme throughout the podcast, but there are other ways to break into baseball. Rob Matwick, Executive Vice President of Business Operations, got his first shot in the college ranks.
What's your story? How did you get into baseball?
Well, I think the best way to describe it for me is I came through college athletics. I went to graduate school at the University of South Carolina and had an opportunity to work in the sports information office there for 2 years. While I was doing my graduate work, I was able to work year-round in the sports information office. So that really gave me a pretty good exposure to athletic media relations, athletic PR, and sort of the workings of the business side of sports. And then after I got out of grad school, about 6 months after, my former coach, college basketball coach, actually became an athletic director. He had left coaching, gone into administration, and he was named the athletic director at Wichita State in Kansas. And he called me and said, hey, you know, I know you sort of have this interest in the sports information area. He said, I have a sports information director on the staff here, but I really like this guy. I'm going to promote him and have him take on, at that time, he was taking on some marketing and promotion responsibilities. So he said, you know, if you're interested, why don't you come out and interview with us? And, if it goes well and we think you're fit, we'll bring you on. So I went out and interviewed and was hired at Wichita State. So I worked there about 2.5 years. So I had you know, almost 5 years of, you know, 2 years of grad school, about 2.5 at Wichita State, in sports information experience in college athletics at the Division I level, which was really a lot of fun. And then one night out of the blue, I get a call from him. Wichita State, definitely. Both South Carolina and Wichita State have very good college baseball programs, so I had a lot of exposure to NCAA regionals and those type of things and conference tournaments. Got to know a lot of people in the college baseball community, but had no aspirations to work in pro sports. In fact, you know, wasn't really looking to leave Wichita. I was sitting at home on a Sunday night in September 1985, and the phone rang. So I answered it, and the gentleman on the other end said, Rob, you don't know me. He said, my name is Dick Wagner. He said, I've just been hired as the president and general manager of the Houston Astros, but I have a job I think you might be interested in. And we talked for about 15 minutes, and he explained that he had an opening for director of media relations for the Astros at that time, and he had some friends that worked in college athletics, and he had called around looking for recommendations from some friends of his in college athletics, and a longtime friend of his at Ashland University of Nebraska gave him my name. And, you know, I'd never met Dick. I'd never been to Houston. I mean, it was just sort of literally out of the blue. And so anyway, we spoke, and I hung up the phone, and I was sort of, you know, had one of those moments like, did that really happen? And so I called a friend of mine who at the time was a sports writer for the Wichita newspaper. And at Cincinnati, I knew Dick Wagner had been with Cincinnati previously, and Wichita had been the AAA team for Cincinnati for a long time. In fact, well, at that time in the 80s, it still was. So I called him and said, hey, Casey, I just had this conversation. Did this really happen? You know, I was thinking, this is 1985. I'm thinking, this is before Pranked or anything. So I'm thinking, was this real? So he said, yeah. He said, I read in the paper that, yeah, Dick Wagner just got hired by the Astros. So sure enough, I went to Chicago, and the interview was actually in Chicago a week later because he had a meeting at the O'Hare Hilton. So I met him at the airport, had lunch with he and the assistant general manager. And about 10 days after that, he called and offered me the job and went to Houston sight unseen. But, you know, when you're young and single, you can sort of do those things. And I said, you know, Major League Baseball, that sounds pretty good, man. Didn't know what I was getting into, but 30 years later, I'm glad I took that call.
Wow, that's a great story. What advice would you give to people wanting to get into baseball?
You know, I think it's, you know, if you're looking on art, on the business side of things, I think it's good to have a business background. You know, I was an English major, so I didn't really, you know, my wife's a math major, and fortunately our daughter, you know, has learned from each of us more language and, you know, English skills for me and the math side for my wife, so I think it's been a good balance for her. But I think it's good to have a business background, to have some understanding of business and how business works. I'd probably say the best thing, you know, experience is always going to be important too. So I think anytime I look at a resume, I mean, I look to see where a student went to school. I'm curious to see what they study from a degree standpoint. But since I was an English major, I mean, I don't really know that always has relevance, but I definitely look and see what a person's work experience was outside the classroom. I mean, it's, you know, anytime you see a student who's only listing sort of coursework as their experience, and thinking, okay, this person didn't really work like I would hope that somebody has worked. And it's easy to say, and I know these things, you know, sports has just sort of gone crazy since, you know, the time that I've been in it. So competitive now for the internships and everything. But I always tell students, I mean, especially, you know, college athletics now and programs at every school, I would say pretty much, you know, do the same things that we do. Well, maybe on a different scale, but I mean, if you go to a competitive D1 program now, I mean, it's big time. It's big time stuff, and we know the TV exposure and everything else. So I mean, I always encourage students to try to get involved on campus. Makes sense. You're there. I mean, it's a labor pool for the athletic department, and I mean, it seems like it's a perfect match. So I always encourage kids to do that. If you want to work in baseball, I mean, obviously there are far more minor league teams around the country or some of the independent leagues. I mean, there are ways, if you're really determined to do it, to get a foot in the door. So experience, I think, is, you know, experience is important. You know, and I mentioned business, but equally important, I think, is communication. You know, you can have the best ideas in the world, but if you can't communicate those to people, they really don't do you a lot of good. So your ability to communicate in person, you know, orally and in writing, I think, are critical skills too. So some balance of those things.
You mentioned a new challenge. It's so competitive. Is that the main challenge that you see that maybe wasn't there when you were coming up?
I think to get opportunities, yeah. For I sense that, you know, the internship piece, you know, is probably a lot more challenging for students this day, just because, you know, there seem to be so many sports management programs around the country that require you to have an internship. That, you know, they're very competitive to get those type of opportunities. So I think that's part of it. But I always tell people too, I mean, go work customer service for us. And we're always looking for people who work customer service. We've helped a lot of college students, you know, be parking attendants for us. And we understand that they can only be in for the season. I mean, Six Flags does the same thing. So it's still going to say Texas Rangers on your resume. You know, you still worked and took a paycheck in the Texas Rangers. I don't care if you did customer service or you were a valet or whatever you were, or if you're sweeping floors. I mean, you know, you're still sweeping the floors for the Texas Rangers. So, I mean, and hopefully if you treated people with respect and did your job and expressed a desire to learn, you know, that you did more than just, you know, what we hired you to do. I think that's probably the best thing. And it's probably a part that I enjoy a lot, is trying to, you know, getting to know. Usually you can get to know three or four. You can't I don't always get to know everybody, but usually I'll meet a handful of kids over the course of the summer. It's interesting to hear the stories and where they're from and what their interests are, because we were all in that same situation. And, you know, but if you're determined enough, and I think if you set your sights on it, you can get there. It's not easy. It's a lot more competitive than it used to be, but and you got to be willing to start at the bottom and work your way up. But I think it's a very rewarding career.
That'll do it for another episode of Dugout Dirt. I'd like to give a special thanks to Mike Bullock, Stephanie Lance, Sean Decker, Rob Matwick, Todd Gugiani, Thad Levine, Karen Morris, and everyone that made this podcast possible within the Rangers. Also, from the marketing department, Becky Kimbrough, Sarah Stone, and Anissa Pruitt, a special thanks to Byron Hardy, my co-producer and editor. If you would like more Texas Rangers original content, please visit texasrangers.com/never ever quit, as well as iTunes for this podcast or texasrangers.com/podcast. I'd like to thank you for listening. And until next time, my name is Jared Couch, and we'll talk to you later.